Hi, welcome to the What I Learned in History class podcast for the week of April 3rd to April 6th. I'm your host, Emily.
And I'm your host, Kayla. So this week in history, we are learning about the Civil Rights Movement in the 1960s, the Cuban Missile Crisis, the Korean War, and the Cold War. But for this podcast, we're going to focus on the Civil Rights Movement in Birmingham, Alabama, as well as the effect the youth had during this movement. Birmingham was one of the most segregated cities in America, and people of color were shunned and hated on so much, so we'd like to go deep into what happened in that city, specifically during the period of the Civil Rights Movement.
During this short week, we discussed multiple events that occurred within the span of the 60s in relation to the civil rights. As previously mentioned, one sequence of events that stood out to us were the events in Birmingham regarding nonviolent protest and violent riots alike. Starting in the mid to late 50s, Black Americans throughout their country became increasingly discontent with the lack of rights they were dealt post-war. They organized sit-ins on restaurants and boycotted public transportation in a peaceful attempt at drawing attention to their demands for decreased segregation. The people of Birmingham, Alabama, like many, were heavily segregated and thus found reason to continuously engage in these sit-ins and boycotts from January through April in 1963. And yet, despite the demonstrations being mostly peaceful, police took it upon themselves to use force against demonstrators via beatings, fire hoses, and the utilization of police dogs. One such event where police dogs were used managed to get press coverage, which helped increase awareness of the movement. However, that April, city officials moved to gain a court order to block further demonstrations. Despite the court order, many still participated in demonstrations, including well-known civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr., who had come to the small town with the sole purpose of supporting desegregation. Mass arrests occurred starting on April 12th, with MLK being a victim among many. And during his stay in jail, MLK would write one of the most famous civil rights documents, a letter from Birmingham Jail, a response to the comments and slander towards him from the white ministers throughout the city. Less than a month later, yet another demonstration was held as more than 1,000 Black middle and high school students marched through downtown Birmingham. In an attempt to avoid the use of force, the city loaded the children onto school buses and continued their mass arrests. However, as jailhouses filled, violence was inevitably resorted to, and students were brutalized with water hoses and police dogs. This led to the rightful outrage of other African American spectators who would attack firemen and officers with bricks and bottles. This would be the start to many Birmingham riots and would bring an even larger spotlight onto the racist city. Within the same month, on May 11th, there would be a bombing targeting African American leaders within the city that would spark several more riots. Tensions throughout the city would increase as more attacks and killings of African Americans swept across the nation to match the ever-increasing protests. This came to a head in the nation as the March on Washington occurred, a large-scale peaceful protest in Washington, D.C. advocating for jobs and equal rights. A month after this large-scale protest, yet another bombing would occur on September 15th in the 16th Baptist Church in Birmingham that would take the lives of four young girls and trigger even more riots. These were just a few key instances of bombings, protests, and riots that occurred in Birmingham, Alabama in the year 1963. However, the mark they left on the civil rights movement is rather vast.
The Civil Rights Movement was such an impactful period for America, and what made it so special and impactful was the inclusion of all. The youth were very much involved in this movement because it dealt with them and their future, their rights, their limits, their everything. We found this article in the Library of Congress called Youth in the Civil Rights Movement, and basically it pulls from interviews from people who did experience and lived through that period. The youth were just as impactful as the famous leaders like Martin Luther King Jr. or Roy Wilkins. They had the same passions as those leaders and were dedicated to sticking through those sit-ins and marches and protests. One thing that was interesting when reading more into specifically the youth was that it wasn't just college students who joined the protests, it started as young as elementary school students. A 12-year-old named Freeman Hirabowski was interviewed decades later about his experience of being in the Birmingham Children's Crusade and being in prison at such a young age. And it just shows how life back then, that children were physically locked up for trying to make a change in this world. He got the chance to be with Martin Luther King Jr., who was arrested during protests in Birmingham and other cities, and as many other times, his speeches and just in general his way of talking was inspirational. Hirabowski has kept MLK's words to him in prison dear to his heart, knowing that just being a part of that protest made such a big difference, and it was true. Birmingham Children's Crusade of 1963 was one of the most publicized protests because of the physical attacks that the police force and their dogs did on the children, showing the world how violent people are and can be to people of color. Having this publicized helped a lot with getting things resolved around the civil rights movement, like passing Brown v. Board of Education and Civil Rights Act of 1964. An even younger person who made such a big impact was Marilyn Hildreth, who's the one who came up with the idea to have a sit-in in Katz Drugstore. With this sit-in, it allowed change in the drugstores nationally, desegregating all the lunch counters inside of them, one step closer to desegregation all over the country, in public places and private too. Hildreth had a family who was very involved in the movement, and she continued to discuss about that in her personal interview. And I feel like that just shows that in that period, just how much things were changing rapidly because of the dedication and influence of everyone from famous leaders to children. It wasn't just people of color who were fighting for civil rights. Joanne Mihalid was a white girl who spoke on the fact that her church was segregated. She spoke more in the movement of religious terms and how Jesus was the one who made everyone and loves them for who they are, not what they looked like. As the article goes on, they speak more of young children who made impactful decisions in the civil rights movement. Reading this article opens the door to another set of information about the civil rights movement, because it's not spoken as much on how the youth helped progress and get closer to integrating America. I also like that they included the actual interview clips that they pulled from, allowing you to hear from the people themselves in more depth. This article allows many to just gain more knowledge. I didn't even know that elementary children were in the movements, especially having impactful ideas and actions.
The second one we were asked was, what do you feel should be the role of younger students today who may want to bring awareness to such issues as climate change, economic equity, or civil rights equality for all? I believe that it is not only the right of the younger students of today, but also the responsibility of each new generation to take their future into their hands. Though this may seem like a brutal responsibility to shoulder, as the future holders of the world, young people must be willing to challenge the set ideals of those before them in order to get what they desire. They can and should do this, whether it means having discussions amongst themselves and their peers in class and on social media, or directly protesting issues peacefully in the streets the way the children of Birmingham did in May of 1963 and students in Tennessee did just this past April 3rd in 2023. It's important that younger people educate themselves on the world they will inherit and actively challenge things they don't like about it, because as the generations before them grow older, they tend to lose their sense of fight. But seeing the actions their successors take can do wonders in helping them regain that motivation. This concludes our podcast about what we learned in U.S. history.
We hope that y'all enjoyed this segment and even learned more about the civil rights movement. Bye!
In our history class, we briefly referenced the 1918 Spanish flu pandemic as being sort of that 1-2 punch along with World War I that definitely affected the world and the United States. How do you think history books will cover COVID-19 in the future? Will it be a part of the written history of the 21st century? And where should we rank it with other current major news items like climate change, the war in Ukraine, or some of the recent presidential elections? I know there'll be a little bit of a gap, and you might reintroduce the questions after this, but those are the questions I want you to answer.
Now that we've heard from a person with firsthand experience, we've now welcomed our history teacher, Mr. Sanders, to ask us some questions about our firsthand experience regarding the pandemic.
I believe that COVID-19 will be a major topic in history books because of its global effects. I think the pandemic will be ranked as the most prominent issue of our decade. However, I'm not sure how it will be ranked within the history of the 21st century, considering there's still a lot of time left for drastic events to occur. The pandemic and climate change are similar in the sense that they have both generated a global impact. However, I think the pandemic will be ranked higher than climate change because it has created economic, environmental, and political impacts, whereas climate change focuses more strongly on the environmental impacts. I also think that the pandemic should be ranked higher than the war on Ukraine because the pandemic created detrimental economic issues that were further deepened by the war. But ultimately, those economic impacts originated from the lockdowns caused by the spread of COVID-19 and the pandemic as a whole. The most recent presidential election between Donald Trump and Joe Biden was also impacted by the pandemic due to many votes being cast because of the candidates' viewpoint on the pandemic and how to handle that as well. Also, many people changed the way they had originally viewed Donald Trump whenever he was a part of the Trump and Clinton election because of the way he had initially handled the beginning of the outbreak of the virus within America within his last final months and year of his presidency.
I feel that COVID-19 will be a heavily discussed topic in future history classes since it drastically affected the entire world in various ways. In my opinion, I would rank COVID very high, if not the highest, compared to other major news items since its effects potentially influenced other events to occur, such as who you stood with on political standpoints based on their take on their pandemic. Although climate change and COVID have some similarities on how it affects the environment, I would still put COVID higher on the list since it had altered more than just our environment, but also our economy and government. I would also put it above the war on Ukraine because it impacted multiple regions globally instead of focusing primarily just on European areas like the war did.